This morning's sermon is titled, We Have a Choice. We have a choice. If you'd like to turn in the Word of God to 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, if you have a church Bible, it's page 1025. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, and we read into chapter 2. We begin our reading, though, in verse 12 of chapter 1. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, this is the Apostle Paul writing, as inspired by God, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes, certainty. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witnesses against my soul, that to spare you I came no more to Corinth, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you, in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one can be swallowed up with too much sorrow. There's obvious repentance, there's obviously a sorrow there. So therefore, in verse 8, I urge you, Paul says, to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. We have a choice. I'd like to read a few more verses from the New Testament. If you go over to Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 25, page 1040. Verse 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, But rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Both those passages that we have read talks about the wonderful transforming thing which has happened to all true believers. They have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. They have been given the Holy Spirit, Christ himself, who now indwells us as a deposit, as a guarantee. That is amazing. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit then. If you go back to the portion that we read from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul's, you can just feel something of his heart here saying, look, we must not let Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we heard on Wednesday evening, those of us who were able to make it, I think quite a brilliant sermon by Bill Randall. So helpful, wasn't it? And on the necessity to continue to walk in the light where Christ is. If we're not walking in the light, then we have no fellowship with him, or indeed real fellowship with anybody else. And if we don't have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, if we don't love them, then we're not in the light. But we need to be where Christ is, in the light. I'm sure you all agree with me that our enemy, our foe, our adversary is very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. Indeed, Scripture speaks to him, doesn't it, as an angel of light. He can dress himself up as an angel, appear as a good'un instead of a bad'un. And even his demons can be clothed as it were, ministers of righteousness. And I believe that is the way how mostly he operates within the Church of Jesus Christ, and how he attacks the dear people of God. How often he comes in that way. He comes so subtly and disguises himself so that we can even believe a lie. After all, isn't he the father of lies? He isn't going to tell the truth. He comes, as it were, like sweet. You know, I have to attend the dentist, and I'm sure most of you have to go to the dentist from time to time. And I sometimes think that the problem with the decay of my teeth is because I'm partial to too much sugar in my teas and coffee. Well, I could do something about that, couldn't I? And I think often the enemy comes to us like a big tub of Neapolitan ice cream. Oof. So attractive, and he knows how to get us. And just as lots of sweets and sugar will be detrimental to your teeth, so the devil, the evil one, defiles our lives and our spiritual walk. His ways are so subtle, often attractive. Now, our God, I mean, if we were to go around this room and everyone here was to name an attribute of God, I think we'd still have more attributes than we could discuss. And it would bless us. It would really bless us. Our God is great. He's awesome. He's just. He's holy. He's loving. He's pure. He's judge. He's creator. And we could go on and on. He cannot lie. If we were to discuss the characteristics and the attributes of Satan, it wouldn't take us quite so long. One thing Satan isn't, He isn't omnipotent, and he's not in charge. Hallelujah. Our God is. And God hasn't abandoned the boundaries of his sovereignty. Praise be to the Lord. But one of the attributes, one of the characteristics of the evil one, the adversary, Satan, the devil, our foe, the foe of Jesus Christ, is that he's a slanderer. He's a slanderer. But it seems to me that the devil's slander is so opposite to what you might think it should be, what you might expect. He lies about us, yes. He lies about us to others. He lies about us to God. We have that in the scriptures as well. You know, he's trying to knock on heaven's door. Hey, did you see her? Did you see him? But something that he seems quite clever about is that he lies about us, to ourselves. Isn't that clever? He successfully gets us to believe things about ourselves that sound convincing, but is a distortion to the facts and run contrary to the word of God. But we believe his lies from time. Now it could be that, oh, that's all right, guy, you're all right. Yeah, I saw you do that. I saw you think that. I saw you say that, but there, don't matter. Look at so-and-so. They're 100 times worse than you. And try to believe a lie that you don't need to confess, you don't need to repent. Just carry on because, well, you're okay. You're not as bad as anybody else. The devil would try to get us to believe a lie so that we don't come to repentance and then receive the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord. He wants to keep us in darkness. He is the father of lies. That's one thing. Or then he'll say, you've blown it now. You've really blown it. Don't you think God's going to have mercy on you now? There's no point confessing, no point repenting. You might as well carry on now. Oh, you can carry on going to church and that sort of thing, but God's finished with you. Again, we could believe a lie. It's running contrary to God's word. It's running contrary to the Holy Spirit within us. When we blow it, we need to quickly confess. If we hurt somebody else by words or actions, we need to say sorry. And there's forgiveness, there's freedom. And we do need to get victory over some areas in our life where we have believed a lie. As we survey the church scene today, we see something of the effects, don't we, of the evil one's workings, of how he's accomplishing so much. Many lives are in bondage. Despite the books, Bill Randall's, I believe, has written a pretty good book on spiritual warfare. There's hundreds of books and studies on spiritual warfare. We preach sermons on spiritual warfare. They've multiplied and multiplied, but still so many of the Lord's people are in bondage still. Perhaps they've got the formula wrong. I don't know. But they've somehow believed a lie. And then we see divisions and the devil's workings all around us. No wonder, you know, may God help us that we don't believe that we can detect when Satan comes, whether he comes as an angel or as a roaring lion. That because we're living in the Word, because we're in fellowship with Jesus, because we're hearing the shepherd's voice, we can quickly boot the evil one into touch. That we don't let him take advantage of us because we're not ignorant of his devices. So we believe the truth. We want to do what God says, not what the father of lies says. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. as the Lord forgave you. We read in John's Gospel, don't we, that false teachers and the enemy of Christ's people, they come as thieves, they come as robbers, they want to steal, kill, they want to destroy. And one of the things he can destroy, even some precious people, is the bitterness. No wonder the word, I want to believe the word, let no root of bitterness spring up, dwell within you. Bitterness is a robber. It destroys, doesn't it? It can steal our peace. Bitterness can steal the song of the Lord within our hearts. Perhaps this is a word for somebody here this morning, maybe even to me. We need to get out of the ashes and move on. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah! And if by faith we are believers in him, we are his body. Glory to God. He is the head, the fountainhead, the cornerstone, the chief one. We derive everything from him. And what is his intention for the church? Because we must be getting our instruction from him, our direction from him. And we should, by God's grace, as individuals and as a fellowship, be effective in the hands of our God, having impact not only that we are living daily by surrendering to the Lord, dying to self, living in the victory that he has won for us, knowing our own weaknesses, knowing that temptations are there, but resisting the devil and seeing him flee. Not only should we be blessed because we know our God and he is for us, so who can be against us? But we should be blessing and impacting other people as well. But so often the church is powerless because we believed a lie. Perhaps we've taken on board the culture of the world, brought it into our own thinking and into the church and the philosophies of the world, the worldly wisdom which does no one any good at all. The world is heading for hell. Alas, many Christians' fellowships don't show any marked difference to the world. Let us believe the truth. Let us embrace the truth. We have a choice. God is for us. Blessed are the peacemakers. In lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than themselves. This, I want to believe truth. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved you. Friends, each lie of the evil one that we take ownership of gives our enemy something more to build on. Any lies that you have taken ownership of, it gives the evil one ammunition to then plant another brick stone, another lie on top. Because the foundation has been laid. And so often we are tricked into believing that these are truths. And although they are distortions, and although they may well be deceptions, we can allow ourselves to be taken captive and still say that we're giving glory to God. Despite the fact the lives are being destroyed, communities untouched and churches devastated by divisions, we carry on hearing and then building on a lie. Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm the way. I'm life. Truth that sets us free. Why believe a lie which may be enticed up in flowery language or whatever? Will destroy. and gives the enemy more ammunition. Friends, I'm a sucker for it at times. I have been. And I need good people around me to say, hey, Jim, you want to wake up? I think you've been listening to the wrong guy. And I need to be humble enough to say, yeah, I got it wrong. I'll listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I want to acknowledge my shortcomings. I want to acknowledge my failings, my sin. Repent. Wrong attitudes. And then, because of God's grace, Pauline, our sister spoke about it this morning, the love of God. We don't deserve it. But what a bountiful, compassionate, long-suffering God he is. And even this morning, instead of us being condemned by the evil one, the Lord wants us to come out into the light, to deal with things that if there are issues, if there are matters which need to be exposed, so that we can face up to it and then say, I come to you, Lord. With you, there is mercy. You are to be feared, aren't you, Lord? But with you, there's plenteous forgiveness and redemption. Where's the devil? Will just knock us down. He might want us to help us to think that we're okay. He wants to keep us in captivity. We sung that song. My chains are off. I'm free because I'm believing the truth. I don't want to believe a lie. I don't want Satan to put fear on me or any one of you. But God, this perfect love cast out fear. That's truth. It's not a wishy-washy gospel. We may be in a culture, in the church scene, maybe be a wishy-washy gospel, bless me, self-esteem. But this is truth. And it's liberating. And it's good not only for now, it will be good for eternity. Hallelujah. By the way, there's the Watchman magazine at the back. Do help yourselves. Surely we should not be ignorant and allow Satan to take advantage of us. Don't let him feed your pride. Don't think, as I can be, the old Jim can rise up, well, I'm right, and somebody else is going to cop it. Many of the Lord's people have bought into a lie. And I believe, do you know, the scripture says, every time someone repents, every time somebody finds salvation, every time somebody finds that their sins have gone and they're free in Christ, the good angels have a party. That's what the scripture says. My fear is that the demons are partying as well because too many of the Lord's people have bought a lie. They don't really live as if they are in Christ and he in them. The words may be okay when they're worshipping the Lord, but their attitude of heart shows that they've been and sucked, been a sucker for the devil. So how are we to overcome? What must we do? So that our thinking, our lifestyle, our attitudes can be more conformed to Christ. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. I mean, our Lord, we heard this wonderful, I don't know now whether it was last Sunday or Wednesday, or it may have been round at Mike and Nicky's home a week ago. I can't remember anyway, but this awesome God, this creator God, this amazing God. We cannot even comprehend who he is, let alone comprehend what he's prepared for those who've loved him. But we know his love is so wide. We can't get around it, so high. We can't get over it and so low. It's wonderful love. He really does love his people. Satan doesn't, of course. This awesome God. Yet he humbled himself. What is man that you are mindful of him? or the Son of Man, that you should visit him. Our Christ made himself of no reputation. He became one with us. And then took the curse that is ours upon himself. What love, what grace. That is what we need to believe and then live in the victory of it day by day. The devil is a liar. Look back at the Garden of Eden. Satan comes and lies to Eve, doesn't he? Satan comes as a serpent, as a snake. Now, Eve had a choice to make. She chose to believe Satan. She decided to act on his word. Just because Satan said it didn't mean that it was true. But she chose to take Satan's words on board. She owned them. She owned them. She bought the lie. Think about it. Adam and Eve were walking with God. There was intimacy in his presence. But Eve still believed the lie. And what was Adam's part in all this? Did he rebuke his wife? No way. He connived with her. The woman you put with me, the woman you gave me. You gave me the fruit, I ate it. He believed a lie. A man smokes 60 cigarettes a day. He smokes these cigarettes for 30 years. Then he dies of lung cancer. And his family sue the tobacco industry. A woman gets into her car, blind drunk, crashes it. And she blames the barman. Your kids are out of control. So you blame the violence on TV or the teachers at school. Excuses? We've got thousands. Our parents failed us. I wasn't understood. They let me down. We've been in the blame game since the dawn of creation. We have. Adam actually blamed God. It was the woman you gave me. Eve was no better. The snake tempted me. Do you know, there's a proverb. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 10, the wise are glad to be instructed. The fool falls flat on their face. Each of us need to accept responsibility. And we need to accept responsibility, or else our character and our image. The way we accept responsibility for our own sin, for our own actions, for believing a lie, for doing that sin, for letting those words come out of our mouths, when we take responsibility shows actually that we have developed into more being like Christ. We're developing in character. We're developing in maturity. This is pleasing to the Lord, and Satan is not taken advantage of. Or he doesn't take advantage of us, I should say. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. But more importantly, God can't forgive us and restore us and heal us unless we own up and come to the light. But once we have, his mercy is as wide as the ocean. Wow. Isn't he a good God? Why are we believing a lie then? We shouldn't. If we're spending time in the Word of God, if we're determinedly seeking God's grace and the filling of the Holy Spirit, if we switch off from the force and concentrate on what is truth, I know we will not so easily be taken in with the poison sweets that the enemy offers us. If we spend time in the light, darkness is anathema to us. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Hallelujah. See, friends, if we're not spending time in the light, and we are the light, we're the light, Jesus is the light of the word, but he's given his light to us. We must see to it that we're in the light. God help us. If we're not in the light, it then becomes increasingly difficult to distinguish between what is light and what is darkness. And actually we become grey. Good and evil, truth and lies, they become a blur. Result is that we can be deceived into thinking that we're fine. And it's all the others who are wrong. We start living in a grey world rather than a black and white. May you have a single eye to the glory of God. May we walk worthy of the vocation to wherewith we have been called. Friends, this is a battle we can win. It is. It's not hopeless. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's in him. He's got the victory. We agree with him. This is faith in action. Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little rebellion is still witchcraft. So let us choose this day whom we will serve. And thank God, his word tells me that all things are possible to him who believes. Let us step out in faith. With God's help and with the acknowledgement, let us overcome our fears, our apathy. Let's step out. Let's follow him closely, walking in the light as he is in the light, because our future depends on it. You have a choice. We have a choice. And you know, there's another wonderful promise. I'm going to close with this. It says, the God of peace will crush Satan, will trample him, break him to pieces under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. That's a promise. I want to believe that. I believe it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.